No dejaremos que cierren la linda puerta que siempre ha estado abierta a la vida.
This is Latin Radical with Warwick Fry. Lara, I guess the ruling Arena Party in El Salvador might be getting a little bit nervous about the influence of Venezuela, the growing influence of Venezuela in Latin America.
The examples that have been going around the region, the most concrete for people in the region in various countries now have been the petrol-related agreements, obviously with Venezuela being the major petrol-producing economy for Latin America and one of the major, you know, the fifth biggest in the world at the moment, exporter. You've got the situation where it cuts out a huge amount of profit for the traditional dominators of the world markets when they exchange petroleum either at a lower rate or some sort of more equitable trading deal that's not about exploiting people. And Venezuela is absolutely committed to the ideology of concept of ALBA, the Bolivarian Alternative for the Americas. It's a political commitment that they have to engage in this sort of fair trade on solidarity principles, which people have talked about since the 70s or 80s, and you would be aware, very aware of the history of the campaigns to make the World Bank accountable or fair, or, you know, the whole fair trading stuff. But here we have a living example which has been developed for nearly 10 years, which we hear almost nothing about ever in the English language. I mean, there's a wealth of material in Spanish, in French, in European languages. There's nothing available in English. Why is there nothing available in English? Why is it that it's only alternative media presenters who are asking the questions about the Bolivarian Alternative for the Americas and the benefits that it has for everybody, for poor people, sure. And that's the most important, and that's where the commitment lies. But also for the rest of the world, for guaranteeing a future planet for us, this model of trade and fair trade obviously has aspects of interest to be studied by everybody and for everybody. And that's the sort of concept that underpins what's coming out of Venezuela at the moment. And they did, they've started a petroleum agreement with San Salvador through the opposition party, the FMLN, who actually run the local governance throughout most of the country with their municipal links. They've got direct relationships there and have now got those sorts of agreements in place. By contrast, the actual governance of El Salvador, the Arena Party, which remains in power, the very fascist organisation, they still use a fascist cross as the party symbol. That hasn't changed since the end of the Civil War. The resurgence of state-sponsored terrorism, those things we're talking about, that's all there still as a hallmark of the very right-wing neo-fascist or fascist governance of the country. By contrast, they have, like many modern democracies, introduced anti-terrorism laws, which are only being applied against people, ordinary people. There's been no other, there's been absolutely no risk in the way that sort of modern Western democracies have outlined and justified the use of anti-terrorism laws, which have hotly contended in those countries. El Salvador has introduced them, and the only people that they've been applied against are a group that are now known as the Suchitoto 13, who were protesting against water privatisation issues in El Salvador. And that's a very important campaign. I hope we'll see a global tour of representatives of those political prisoners. They are political prisoners, and some of them have been released on certain conditions, some haven't. The campaign against them, though, is a very politically motivated, another a little bit like the death squads and making examples of people. It's a way to put people off speaking up in their own interests. Good news is that it hasn't worked. It hasn't intimidated people. There is a small community in El Salvador protesting at the moment about gold mining activities of a Canadian company, Pacific Rim, because the amount of water that gold mining company needs to take, and it's from the same water sources the population needs, is about 30,000 litres a day for their processing. And at the moment, the community that needs drinking water to survive, a small community of people, needs a lot less than that and only is able to draw on it once a week to get to, you know, clean drinking water. So you have an outrageous situation where this federal government is going to say, yes, you can go ahead with the gold mining project and you can draw that amount of water, which is not a sustainable quantity of water to be using in the context anyway. Meanwhile, they're looking at charging peasants and people who earn almost nothing a huge amount of money to access, you know, livable drinking water once a week. Then there's storage and contamination issues that come out of that, as you can imagine. I mean, these are life and death issues still for people. They're not sort of whims of fancy or questions about the degree of ideological commitment that someone has to a particular issue. These are life and death survival issues for people. And I think it's really important that those of us who can mobilise in solidarity to support the very fair claims that these people have.
And, on the question of solidarity, I'm just wondering if there's anything community radio stations might be able to do. I understand that that there was a radio station in El Salvador became a target for these right-wing terrorist despots.
Yes, well, particularly the radio, there is one particular radio station, but, you know, it's been the history of repression against journalists, whether they're in radio stations or any form of media who speak out against fascist regimes anywhere has always exacted a pretty high toll, as you know. And there is a particular radio station, Radio Cadena Mi Gente, my people's radio network, or People's Radio Network. There was the murder last year of one of their employees, Salvador Sanchez, which the civil organisations of the country are very clear is a political assassination that remains uninvestigated. And on the 7th of January of this year, Radio Cadena Mi Gente also was receiving death threats, and that's one of the that have still not been investigated and not taken seriously, and that's one of the complaints that the civil organisations have about the new presidential candidate, the former director of the National Civilian Police, Rodrigo Avila, because he has ignored their calls for justice about that. So if community radio stations around Australia and their listeners could join in asking or demanding that the Salvadoran government meet normal standards of democracy in terms of protecting, and because these are ongoing death threats against people broadcasting public radio in El Salvador. They're legally broadcasting, they purchase their licences, they comply to all the standards that we have to comply to here, and probably more, I'd say, actually, knowing the history of how the airwaves have been used in El Salvador. They certainly comply with all of those requirements and are broadcasting legally, and yet are under this degree of intimidation, and it's a full year out from the elections. And I think in the case of Radio Cadena Mi Gente, while they're a progressive organisation, they don't overtly... If the political laws in El Salvador, the laws around elections, I should say the electoral laws, are very clear, as they are in Australia, about what you can and cannot do in support of a candidate. So it's not as though these are airwaves that simply freely promote, okay, go vote for this fellow or the other woman or what have you. They don't do that. They have to comply with all the normal... In fact, they're even more stringent, I think, having had a look at the electoral laws in El Salvador under the peace agreement. They're very tight. They have the potential to be very democratic. I think, in theory, they look very good. But the problem with it is that they are still heavily weighted towards people having money to purchase airtime, so that the rich are able to have that unfair advantage.
And now you've got the the head of the police who refuses to investigate these cases, potentially the future president of El Salvador. We can imagine what's going to happen during, when election fever really takes hold.
Yes, I think that there is a great need for vigilance, not just within El Salvador or Central America, but internationally, that those people who are committed to seeing the peace process deepen in El Salvador and the democratic process deepen in El Salvador, those friends of El Salvador and friends of democracy everywhere, because, you know, regimes that are anti-democratic have ripple effects for all of us, and that's why it's so important that we speak out and that we are engaged in solidarity with El Salvador as it goes through this very important time. That we are looking at sending international observers from Australia and very keen to hear from people who would be interested in participating in those in that international observers mission to El Salvador, because it will be important that people are able to report And, you know, it really does have an impact when people know there are international observers there. It does change the degree of repression. Mm. And, you know, we've seen that time and time again, and that's why we're committed to doing it for the 2009 regional and presidential elections.
Yeah. Well, thanks very much for talking to Latin Radical, Lara, and you've given us quite a bit to think about there. Can you, if people need more information or want to contact concerned people, can you point us?
Yes, I think we'll put the link up with this podcast on your website for people to be able to get in touch, either to express interest in attending the Brigade to El Salvador, the observation mission to El Salvador, and for further information. There's a terrific, and it's probably the only English language website directly in Solidarity, which is the CISPES website run through the United States, the committees in solidarity with the people of El Salvador, and that's a non-government and solidarity organisation which provides, really it's the best source of English language news on the region.
So that's CISPES.
.org, that's the one.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Lara Pullen.
Thank you. I hope that was useful, Warwick.